All right. Welcome, church. I'm glad you're all joining us in your living rooms, your kitchens, your bedrooms, wherever you may be. This week is a special week. Happens once a year, as we talked about it. But I know we're normally together. We're normally in church. We're normally having little kids come up and give flowers or candies to mom. But I know we're separate, but I still want us to be able to celebrate Mother's Day. Want to honor our moms. We're still going to do it. We're going to do it virtually, but that's okay. This is if you see my slide, this is a picture of my mom's. FYI, pictures you see may or may not be the same size as they are in present day. Things in the rearview mirror tend to look smaller than they are in real life. I just want to give a shout out. Happy Mother's Day to my mom. In the middle, my stepmom over there, and then my grandma as well, because my stepmom? No, mother-in-law, not stepmom. I'm sorry. I just messed up the words. My mother-in-law. Stepmom's a totally different thing. But my mother-in-law, my mom, and my grandma, these are three women who are in my life. Just want to give a special shout-out. Happy Mother's Day. I love you. We'll see each other once you know, 2030 comes rolling around and everything is back to normal. So yes, with that, anyway, we're going to move along. Today, we're continuing our series that we have been doing on the book of James called Connecting. Last week, we focused on the latter half of James chapter 1, where we looked at the types of people that we are caring for, the widows and the orphans. It talks about hearing and doing the word as well. If I may quote, the last verse in the chapter says, "Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained from the world." Unstained from the world. This means that we are apart from the world, no matter what the world throws at you on the left, on the right, that we remain unstained and we see things as how God sees it. We think as how God thinks. We act and live how God would want us to think rather than what the world wants us to do. Now, James goes on into chapter 2, which we're going to look at today. He talks about one of the areas that we get stained and we get polluted is in what he goes into here. So let's read together, shall we? I'm going to read from James chapter 2, 1 through 4 first. "My brothers and sisters, believers in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ must not show favoritism. Suppose a man comes into your meeting wearing a gold ring and fine clothes, and a poor man in filthy old clothes also comes in. If you show special attention to the man wearing fine clothes and say, 'Here's a good seat for you,' but you say to the poor man, 'You stand there or sit on the floor by my feet,' have you not discriminated among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts?" Let's stop here and let's look at the passage we're reading. So if we read the first verse again, it basically says, don't show favoritism. That's it. That's the sermon. We're going to talk about favoritism. Don't show favoritism. Everyone gets that? Because if it is, it's going to be a very short sermon. We're going to close it right here. I kid. But let's look a little bit deeper into what that means. The word favoritism, if it's literally translated, it says favoritism is respecter of persons. Respecter of persons. What is that? Don't be a respecter of persons. It's don't assume that one person is more important than another. Don't treat people differently. Don't be a respecter of persons. It's interesting here because I love the wording that is used. It says, believers in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ must not show favoritism in verse 1. That's very important as we are believers of our glorious Lord Jesus Christ. And as a believer, as James talks about here, if you believe that there is this glorious being in heaven sitting upon the throne, just watching us as we sit in our homes, who the Bible says dwells in unapproachable light, that this being would go look and be like, And we would see and be in awe of them, this glorious being. And if our human body says we saw him, we would perish because he is so holy and unapproachable. This being, and if you believe in that being that I just described, sitting on the throne, that is so glorious that we would not show favoritism. You should understand that we should not be a respecter of persons. That we should understand that there is simply God and there is people. There is simply God and there is people. There's not different levels of people when we're in the sight of God. There's just a bunch of itty bitty little people made of flesh and bones, little bitty itty people. Where it says in Isaiah 2, stop trusting in mere humans who have but a breath in their nostrils. Why hold them in esteem? Why? Now, why would you lift up this person who doesn't even know if they're going to have another breath, if God doesn't allow it? So as believers in our glorious, I'm going to say glorious a lot today, our glorious, because I love that word, glorious Lord Jesus Christ, we shouldn't have any distinction amongst ourselves as people. Now, you're probably listening to me and you're already thinking like, I don't show favoritism. I treat everybody equally. I don't give special preferential treatment. I'm not a respecter of people. But as I thought about it, I dug a little deeper. I myself had to think like, it's a little embarrassing because as I think about it, like, I didn't think I was, but in my own pride, I realized that I am a respecter of persons. I do show favoritism. Like, I wouldn't think, like, if someone famous, like, I don't get the craze about celebrities. I don't get why when people are in Hollywood, you're like, it's Justin Bieber. It's so-and-so. Like, that's just weird. Why would you do that? Until you meet someone famous yourself, right? Then you're just like, what do I say? Did I change my underwear today? Am I wearing underwear today? You begin to think these things and these thoughts run into your head like, oh man, I gotta get a picture. I'm looking at someone in the audience because underwear, not wearing it, just clicks in my head. You can't see them, but they're there. And you're just thinking like, oh man, like I need to get a picture for the gram. This is somebody famous. I need to make sure that everybody sees on Instagram that I met, I don't know, some Korean drama fame or actor. I can't think of a name right now. But you think these things until when you meet them. Initially, you're like, no. But once you meet them, it's different. And doing that makes you a respecter of persons. Now I'm thinking like, oh, maybe when I met famous people, that thought runs through my head. And I'm like, dang, I'm a loser. I am a respecter of persons. And the Bible clearly says not to be a respecter of persons. Because you see, there are certain people in this world that will get special treatment wherever they go. Wherever, whenever. You're probably thinking of high-ranking officials. You're probably thinking of celebrities, famous people. But at the same time, there are people around the world who are constantly rejected no matter where they go, wherever it is. They're constantly rejected. And that part is actually okay. But what is not okay is that when they come to church, our virtual church, but soon to be hopefully one of these days physical church, when they come to church, they receive that exact same treatment as they find outside the church. They get that exact same treatment where they get in the world that they find here in church. Now, we somehow have to get past this. And that's what the Bible is saying. We shouldn't be paying special attention to them, whether it's because of their wealth, fame, or anything else. We should not be respecters of people. We respect God and love people equally, all the same. We respect God and love people equally, all the same. There is God and there is us. That's it. Now, can we get there? I want you to imagine with me. We're going to take a virtual field trip together. Imagine yourself back in church. Close your eyes. You know, you got to find your spot. Okay, there's my podium spot. Did you find your spot? Did you find your spot? I found my spot. That's where I sit in church. You're probably seeing on the screen. That is where I sit in church. Now, okay, this is me sitting in church. Picture that, you sitting in church. Then suddenly, as you're sitting in church, LeBron James sits next to you in church. LeBron James sits next to you in church. And then you're probably thinking like, ooh, wow, why is LeBron in church next to me? What is he doing here? And your mind begins to race like, oh, dude, this is LeBron. This is LeBron James sitting next to me. And why is he here? And then to top it off, after LeBron sits next to you, Oprah's sitting next to you. You get a car. Everybody gets a car. She's sitting next to you in church too. And you're probably thinking in your mind like, why? What's going on? Like, is there some special event? Why in IFGF Pinoa is LeBron and Oprah here? But imagine, now you're sitting next to you. It's pretty safe to say you'd be distracted right now. You're probably distracted laughing at the picture of me. I'm distracted too. But you're probably distracted if that happens to you in church. To be honest, I wanted to use a different basketball player. I didn't want to use LeBron, but I got sad thinking about it. I wanted to put Kobe there, and I was just like, oh. And then I thought, oh man, if I preach, I'll talk about Kobe. I'm going to start crying, and it's happening. So I tried not to use Kobe, but I had to mention Kobe, but I wanted to use Kobe. But imagine it was LeBron and Oprah, right? And now back to what we have here. You've got LeBron on your right. You've got Oprah on your left. Would you be distracted? Yeah, okay, you probably would be. But why? But why would you be distracted? And we're going to dig into the heart of it as why you would be distracted if they were sitting next to you in church. Before that, let me ask another question. We're back in the same place, right? You got LeBron. You got Oprah. Now imagine you're sitting in church and suddenly God appears on stage. The glory of God fills the stage. His presence is sitting there. You see him. Not literally, because you can't, but imagine there's some veiled covering and God allows a portion of himself to be seen on that stage as you're sitting there next to LeBron, next to Oprah. God is there on stage. Now, when that happens, at that very point, do you think that LeBron and Oprah would be a distraction to you? Would you think that LeBron and Oprah would be a distraction if the glory of God manifested itself on that stage right there in front of you? I think at that point it wouldn't matter. It wouldn't matter because all that's happening is, wow, God is here. It's God and me. God is right there. Why? Because we would have our sights set on the glorious Lord Jesus Christ. His glory would be so enthralling, would draw us in. I believe that the person next to you on the left and right would not matter at that point in time. See, that's the problem we have, is that we forget who God is. We forget who God is, and we take our eyes off of him, and we become a respecter of persons. We take our eyes off of him and become a respecter of persons. Did you get that? And then we begin to put these people into different classes because we forget as believers in the glorious Lord Jesus Christ that all we should see is this great, great God out there. And then there's the people. There's the people, just people. Just people that it's our job to love and show mercy to, because that is what God has given to us. And that's all there is to it. When we lose focus on who God is, we become a respecter of persons. We begin to show favoritism. That's all there is. We need to know there's God and there's people, and we show mercy to those people. So that's why we can't become consumers. When we come to church, we have to come here and say, I'm going to give. If a famous person shows up, I don't want anything from that famous person. Why do I need to know this famous person? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I'm not going to look at them the way the world looks at them. Hey, can I get an autograph? Hey, can I get a picture? Can I get some money? Or how about this? I'm not going to treat my boss the way everyone else treats him. You think, wait, what? I'm not going to treat my boss the way everyone else treats him. I'm not going to kiss up to this person solely because they can help me with what I want. There it is. It's because I want. The core of it is because I want. That is why we become disrespecter of persons. It's because I want. What do I want? What do I want to get? Well, if we focus on God, we don't lose sight of these things. We don't become disrespecter of persons. The issue is where people want something from other people. Where the Bible says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. You know that verse. Everyone knows that verse. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. If we are people who really get all of our fulfillment from the Lord and satisfaction from him, then we can walk into church, you know, church one day. We can walk into church and give and show mercy as God wants us to, but we don't. Why? Because we show favoritism instead. We become a respecter as a person. Now you're probably thinking, Josh, no, this doesn't happen in IFC of Pinoy. No, this doesn't happen here. You're talking, what famous person has walked through our door? No, this doesn't happen in IFC of Pinoy. You're yanking our change. But how often do you come to service? 7 weeks ago, think back 7 weeks ago. But how often do you come to service and you only talk to your friends, those people that you know, those people you feel comfortable with, instead of the quiet one at church? Instead of the person sitting in the corner, minding his own business on his phone, instead of the person that you look at and like, I don't think we'll get along. How often do you come to church and do that? Or honestly, do we walk in? As soon as we walk in, we zoom in and we find that person who has something to offer us, something that we want. Whatever it is, connection, that job, advice, money. They're bringing us food. I'm here for the food. I see that bag of food they have. It has my name on it. When do we walk in and that's how, what our mind occupies? Who's bringing me something? Who's giving me something? What do I want? Are we even looking to care for people? Or even in the church, are we beginning to create these classes of different people? Ones that we will talk to and ones that we will ignore. Feels like high school sometimes, doesn't it? You got the popular kids. You got Dorothy over there sitting with the popular kids. Then you got the geeks over there with Bernard. He's just hanging out with his geek friends over there. Isn't it like high school sometimes, like church? You get the paupers and it's the same way. It shouldn't be like that. But sometimes it becomes like that. The Bible says there should not be a difference, right? But there is a difference. If we do show preference, we should show it to what? Not the rich, but to the poor. To the poor, to those who are typically rejected. In we'll keep reading here in verse 5-7. Listen, my dear brothers and sisters, has not God chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith and to inherit the kingdom he promised those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor. You've dishonored the poor. Is it not the rich who are exploiting you? Are they not the ones who are dragging you into court? Are they not the ones who are blaspheming the noble name of him to you belong? Whew. From these verses, God has explicitly stated that God has chosen the rejects of the earth to be rich in faith. Rich in faith. God has chosen them to be his own children. Don't you know that God has always and constantly associates himself with the poor? with the rejects of the world. They are his children, and then suddenly you are rejecting his children. The glorious Lord Jesus Christ goes, those are my kids. Those are my kids. They love me, and they're crazy about me, and you're rejecting them. And it says the poor that are chosen. In general, it's typically the poor who are crazy about God. Think about that. It doesn't mean that rich people aren't able to be rich in faith as well. It's just more rare. Mark 10:25 says, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. Why is that? You think about why is that? Typically, it's because we're complacent. We have God for, you know, we've got God for some of the stuff, but we believe that the securities we built, that we don't need God as much. I know I'm guilty of that sometimes. I think of what have I done to prevent catastrophe from happening in my future. As I look around my house, I can see so many things to distract myself with and feel complacent and safe instead of putting that trust in God, putting my wants and needs in God. Even this time of a pandemic, if I'm going to be real with you, I think about it like, you know, we're okay. We still have reserves in our savings. We'll be fine. You know, I'm still working. It's all because of God. Yeah. But I'm still working. Is that hitting home for anybody today? I look at my bank account and feel I can survive. I got my parents will support me. I can depend on them. Rather than thinking I can depend on God. But for the poor, when you've gone to some places, if you've ever been on a mission trip, you can see. You can just, I think back and I look. You get blown away by the joy and happiness and the amount of faith you can find in people who have not much physically, but rather everything in God. If you've ever been on a mission trip, I will highly recommend it. But it really puts your life into perspective. It really puts the things you have, the things that you think you need and the things that you think you want really into perspective. You can see such joy and happiness in the eyes of those who have not yet much physically, but are so much richer in faith because of that. The joy of the Lord is truly there. It's all they have is God, and it really shows itself as such. But it says in the Bible, right? That even those that are materially wealthy or have this fame, these guys you lift up and they're the ones exploiting you, even though they speak against me. If Bill Gates was here in church, I am sure your reaction would be, dude, that's Bill Gates. That's the founder of Microsoft. Dude, the guy's a legend. He's the king of nerds. He's the billionaire. He's what makes me able to write my school reports in Microsoft Word. Now he's Google Docs. But before that, he was the guy who let me write reports. This Bill Gates. And you begin to think, oh, what am I going to do? Do I shake his hand? Do I bow? Do I leave the room and not be in his presence? But never mind the fact that he rejects everything that is taught here. Never mind the fact that he does not speak in agreement with what we believe. Never mind the fact he does not lift the teaching of Jesus up, but rather reject them and speak against them. But that's okay. That guy's got a lot of money. That guy's a genius. Why do we lift these people up instead? Why? Let's do the same thing in church. Rather than being more concerned about person's salvation, we lift these people up. You see, it's the whole idea of who do we lift up versus who does God look at and who does God see as pure? Wouldn't you one day really want to just be able to see from God's point of view? How does God see people? How does God see us? Like you get this extra filter on your eyes and you begin to see like, oh, that's how that person looks. My goodness, wouldn't that make life so much easier? Versus instead of having to judge people by how they dress, how they look, how you perceive them, you get to see them by how God sees them. Like, I know that I'm unjust. I lift people up one over the other. I create the system of classes in my head naturally. When I see people, I begin to categorize. I don't think of them as just people. I think of like, oh, this one, oh, this one, oh, this one. Even subconsciously, I'll judge by a person by how they look sometimes, how they act. But for just one day, if we could see people how God sees people from his eyes. Let me see, Lord, what you value most. Let me see who has that pure heart, who was really after your heart, God, and your heart alone. And those are the ones worthy to be lifted up, those poor but yet rich in spirit, rich in faith. And I'm willing to bet that through God's perspective, the people that we normally lift up probably are last in God's places to lift up. And those we don't think of and those we lift up last are probably first in who God lifts up first. Hope I'm speaking to somebody today. If not, we're going to keep reading in James. James 2, 8 to 13. If you really keep the royal law found in Scripture, love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing right. But if you show favoritism, you sin. Ooh, you sin. And are convicted by the law as lawbreakers. You didn't think I'd be telling you, you just sin. No, see, you didn't think about that. But if you show favoritism, you sin and are convicted by the law as lawbreakers. For whoever keeps the law, the whole law, and yet stumbles at just one point is guilty of breaking all of it. We talked about that last week, remember? You can't pick and choose which ones you want to follow. You got to follow them all. For he who said, you shall not commit adultery, also said, you shall not murder. If you do not commit adultery, but do commit murder, you have become a lawbreaker. Speak and act as those who are going to be judged by the law that gives freedom. Because judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful. Mercy triumphs over judgment. Mercy triumphs over judgment. If nothing really sticks to you from this entire sermon, I hope this one does. James closes the section off here with this motivation to you to not show favoritism. Because you're going to be judged. You're going to be judged. I'm not telling you that, but that's James. You're going to be judged. And how do you want to be judged when you stand before God? Do you want to be judged based upon your works? Or do you want to be shown mercy? So now, do you see how we come full circle? Earlier I mentioned about how it was simply our job, right? We respect God, and then we love people, and we extend mercy to them. We extend mercy to others because of the mercy that God has given us. We show mercy to others because it was first God, and we believe that he's going to show mercy to us when our day comes, when we meet the Lord, when our time in this earth has come to pass. Because when we stand before God, I don't know about y'all, but I'm going to need a lot of mercy, probably a lot more than a lot of you guys. I'm going to need a lot of mercy when I stand before God. Because at the end of the day, they're going to go through the commands. All right, this is the archangel over here. He's like, all right, Josh, have you honored your mother and father? You think, mom, dad, if you're watching, I've always honored you. I've never talked behind your back. I love you. But have you always honored your mom and dad? You honored your father and mother, especially today. It's Mother's Day. What a timely commandment to go through. Did you do that perfectly? I think you're going to want some mercy for that one. I know I will. Then he's going to go to the next one. You shall not bear false witness. Have you ever lied? Have you ever lied to your parents? Especially your mom? In a Mother's Day, I'm going down. Mom, I never lied to you. Actually, did I ever lie to my mom? Probably. I probably have. So we're going to run the tape, right? They're going to run the tape, and you're going to see, yeah, I did that one. I did that one. And you're just going to need mercy there, aren't you? You're going to be like, yeah, I'm going to need mercy. What about you shall not covet your neighbor? Have you ever wondered what your neighbor had? Tim just got a new Tesla. I want a new Tesla. Karen just bought her third mansion. I'm still my first. I need to get that second and third to catch up to Karen. And how does Billy get straight A's without even studying? He just goes into class. He gets an A. I bet he's cheating. That's not me. That's not me. But do you covet, right? They're going to wind that tape back. You're going to watch your entire life when we meet God, and you're going to want that mercy. You're going to be like, yep, boom, boom, I broke that one, I broke that one, and I broke that one. But you're going to be, please, God, don't judge me. Don't judge me by what I did. Because I know, when I was on earth, God, I know when I was on earth, I offended you, but I believed in you. I tried, I believed in you. And I know that you love me so much, right? That you sent your son to die for me. And he died on the cross for me so that I can have mercy, right? That I can still be with you and I can have mercy and I don't have to be punished because he paid the price for me on the cross. And then God will go like, yeah, you know, yeah, that is what my son did. He did pay for all of that horrible movie we saw for, I'm going to live 105 years. Oh, the entire movie, 105 years he watched. He did pay for all that. Why are there on earth that I loved you so much that rather than punishing you, I was fair. I had my son pay for it. So someone paid for it and you're receiving that mercy. And if you understood that, you understood that God, he gives you that mercy, then let's look at your life and see if you in turn showed mercy to others. You see, because the people who get it, people who have been fulfilled by God and understand the mercy of God, they in turn go out and show mercy to others. This is what James is saying entirely basically. This entire thing is what James is saying. This is why James says that it's not a works salvation. He's just saying that the ones who are really fulfilled and understand what God has given them, they don't walk around wanting stuff from other people. They walk around with the Lord as their shepherd and they don't have wants. God's mercy to us, understanding and receiving his mercy and giving his mercy towards others. That's it. That's all there is to it. If we understand these principles, we understand what God is giving us, we don't look for other wants. We don't look for other things. We don't show favoritism. We don't become this respecter of persons. This is what we're talking about. If we're so fulfilled in God, then I shouldn't show up to church looking at someone and say, oh, there's Bob and Joe. Man, what can I get from them today? Because I don't need anything. I don't need anything. I have my wants fulfilled in God. I should be so content, so overwhelmed, that my cup is overflowing and I can't lift any more blessing, fit any more blessing in my life because of that. My life is so good. God, you're so good. God, your mercy endures forever. Your mercy's in my life. And that I don't walk into a room and wonder, what can you give me? No, that's not what it's about. That's the way that people in the world operate. They think about, what can I get from them? If I lift this person up, what can I get from them? If I become a respecter of persons to that person, what can I get myself? It's what I want, right? I hope you're following with me that this favoritism thing is really at the heart of it, of what I want. And your wants not being fulfilled in God. It's what can I get from them? Do you walk into church the same way? Do you go to church the same way? Do you approach life in the same way? Do you walk into your workplaces the same way? When the world sees you, do they encounter the same thing they see everywhere else? Are they encountering, oh, this guy just wants something from me? Is that the famous person? Oh, they just want something from me. I mean, sometimes isn't that the reputation the church has? Oh, the church just wants something from me. Oh, they just want my money. Oh, they just want this. They just want that. No, the church ought to be a group of people who are so filled with love and understanding that we're overflowing. We don't need anything. We don't want anything you have. But we really just want to give to you. We really want to just give this God that we have, this God that has blessed us, this God that has given me this mercy and this love. I just want to give it to you. That's it. That's it. No strings attached. Imagine if that was the reputation of the church. Instead of the church wants something, the church is a place that they just want to give to you instead. I bet you those seats would be filled way more. Let's change that narrative. Let's change that narrative. Man, I've been so blessed. God's so good. Who can I give to this morning? That should be our thought. First thing, every day, especially on Sunday. Man, I've been so blessed. God is so good. Who can I give to this morning? Before I close, I want us to take a moment. I want us to pray to God. I want us all to bow our heads, close our eyes. And I'll close in prayer, but I want each of us to pray this prayer in our heart. That God, I don't want to be the type of person who shows favoritism. I want to see the glorious you. The glorious you. And the rest of us here. I want to see that I am so filled by your mercy that I can just flow out. And before you judge us, I know that the mercy you've given to me and that you've blessed me with, I can bless unto others. I can be a lover and respecter of God and a lover of people. That I won't be a respecter of persons, but rather I would respect God only and love others equally. Would you pray this prayer in your hearts with me this morning? Father, you hear our hearts. You know that we're not perfect. You know that we fall short. We have sin. But I pray that we don't become a respecter of persons. We don't show favoritism, but rather we understand and know that the Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. That I don't look for wants from other people. That I am fulfilled. I am content. I am blessed beyond measure by you. And your mercy abounds so great in my life that I can't help but show mercy to others. I can't help but show your love, your goodness to those around me. Everything that I don't look for what can they do for me. But rather, I look what can I do for them. Because I know you've done it all for me, God. Father, we just pray. Hear our prayers this morning. Hear our words. Hear our hearts. We thank you, God.